story background in view. Because the starting point for all of us is homelessness. We are homeless souls, and not the kind of homeless where you just haven't found your true home yet. All of us had a home. We had a spiritual home, and we were passed out. The door was closed behind us, and we were told, stay outside. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, had a home in paradise. They lived in this perfect fellowship with God in his garden. We could not imagine a better home. There was safety. There was plenty. There was the warmth of belonging, the delight of being perfectly loved. Most amazingly, they lived with God until the great rebellion. In an awful act of betrayal and unfaithfulness, humanity tried to topple the rightful head of the home, to grasp control of the home themselves, and in the process, vandalizing it beyond repair. And so, we were kicked out. Adam and Eve were cast out of paradise, and God placed a huge keep out sign on the gates in the form of terrifying cherubim. I don't know what you think when you hear the word cherub. Maybe you think of those, you know, chubby babies on cards with wings. But that could not be further from the truth of what an actual cherubim are actually like. They are awesome angelic beings, terrifying, and they're stood at the entrance of Eden with flaming swords to keep us out of our former home. God said, because of your sin, you can't come in. Even many hundreds of years later, when God's temple was built in Jerusalem for him to live with his people, there was still, right at the center of the temple, a big keep outside. This huge, thick curtain was placed around the most holy place with images of the cherubim on it to remind us, you can't come in. The door to our spiritual home remained shut. We were all homeless sinners, restless wanderers, knocking on all kinds of doors, when the one door that mattered remained shut in our face. Until the Son of God himself took on our humanity. He came down to open the door. And when Jesus Christ died for sins, he removed that barrier between us and the God who is our home. As he breathed his last breath, that awful curtain that kept us outside was torn in two, so that you, in your spiritual homesickness, could return to the God who is our shelter and who is the pasture for your soul. The door is now open. That is what Jesus has achieved for you. He's opened the door that seems forever shut to you. So that instead of being an outcast, you can be a family member. Welcome at the dining table. He says to you today, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. If anyone enters by me, he will go in and out and find pasture. Is not an empty promise. Jesus has risen and ascended into the heavenly places to open a way for us to ascend spiritually with him. He is the door to heaven, the door to the kingdom, the door to the church and household of God. Jesus is the door to your spiritual home. And that means don't ever try and find another way. All of us will be tempted at one time or another to kind of sneak through the window instead of the door. We'll be tempted to rely on our own works to gain entrance instead of Jesus and his cross. We'll be tempted to rely on our church attendance or how much we're serving at church. We might be tempted to base our confidence on how well we're doing at living Christianly. I don't know if this ever happens to you, when you're kind of doing a good job of being a Christian, following Jesus, you sort of pat yourself on the back, don't you? But when sin is causing us trouble, we wonder, am I even really a proper Christian? Well, that's trying to go through the window. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. He's the door. The only way into God's family is through Jesus Christ, the only door to your spiritual home. So let me ask you, which door are you knocking at right now? Where are you looking in your own life to find spiritual home, to warm your soul, to feed your soul, to give you shelter and belonging and rest? Are you coming through the only door that matters? This is a vital question, isn't it? Have you come in yet for the first time? Are you inside the sheepfold? When the names are read from the Book of Life, the names of all the citizens of the kingdom, all the sheep of God's flock, will your name be there? Are you a member of Christ's flock, a member of his church? Have you had his name stamped on you in baptism, the sign of entry? That's what baptism is, isn't it? It's when you were baptized, it's the sign and the seal of your entry into the sheepfold of God through the only door, Jesus Christ. You know, it's pretty common to hear people say, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. I'd rather have my own personal relationship with Jesus, but don't ask me to be part of a church. But Jesus is the door into the church. He leads you into the sheepfold. We're not meant to be solo Christians in our own little personal sheepfold. I need to be with the flock in the sheepfold. Now many of us have come to Christ. We have gone through the door. We've tasted the joys of true spiritual home. What does this have to say to us? Well, very simply, keep coming through the door. In this picture, isn't it interesting that the sheep don't just go through the door once into the sheepfold and then that's it? Verse 9, they go in and out and find pasture. I think that's such a helpful picture of the Christian life. In and out. That is all we're doing in the Christian life. A Christian is one who is constantly going in the door and out the door, in to find shelter, out to find pasture, in to find safety, out to find plenty, but always through the door. I used to think, as a younger Christian, I used to hear teaching about Christ and the gospel and think, yeah, I know all of that now, can we move on to learning something new? But the Christian life is about going through the same door every day. It's not that when we become Christians, we suddenly have perfect peace, perfect rest and satisfaction all the time. So the sheep still get hungry every day. They still face danger every night. The difference is now we know where to find rest. You know the doorway to pasture and the doorway to shelter. And so in we go, out we go, through the door. This is the answer for our restless, homesick souls. Maybe your life hasn't turned out the way you hoped. You find your soul thirsty and discontented. Maybe you're tempted to think, if only this circumstance that I'm in would change, then everything would be great. If only this health issue, or this job issue, or this marriage or family issue would change. But it's not circumstance change that our thirsty souls need. It's Christ who is the door to our spiritual home. But there's a second thing to see. But the sheep don't just need a door, they need a shepherd to take us there. So the first point, Jesus is the door. Second point, your minister is the doorman. Your minister is the doorman. See, this parable is actually more focused on how to tell a true shepherd from a false one. How to discern a shepherd and a thief. We need to know which shepherds follow. So have a look at verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but finds him by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So here we are with vulnerable sheep, and Jesus says there are shepherds and there are thieves, and they have very different intentions towards you. You do not want to fall into the hands of a sheep stealer, but we do very much need to be under the care of a true shepherd. I don't know about you, I think it's easy, isn't it, in our individualistic culture to think my relationship with God is basically between me and Jesus. The health of that relationship is down to me. It's about how well I'm reading my Bible in the morning and praying and fighting sin and all of that. But in this picture, the destiny of the sheep is very closely tied to whether it falls into the hands of a shepherd or a thief. Follow the shepherd and you end up in the sheepfold. Follow the thief and you end up in the market, sold for Sunday roast. And so it's vital that we know how do we tell a true shepherd, a true minister of the gospel, and how do we spot the thieves and the robbers? So how can you tell? Well, very simply, true shepherds enter through the door, thieves break in another way. It's very plain, isn't it, in verse 1. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. How do you tell a true minister of the gospel? Because he knows his way home. He's found the home for his soul through the door of Jesus Christ. He's no longer homeless, restlessly wandering and knocking on doors. When his heart is homesick, he runs to Jesus. He can't lead you to the door if he hasn't gone through himself. And that leads to the second thing. The true shepherd leads you through the door. In verse 2, the shepherd has entered the sheepfold by the door. All the sheep are inside the sheepfold. But then what does he do? Verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So he's leading them back out through the door. And verse 4 says, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. So the shepherd goes first through the door. He calls the sheep to follow him and he leads them. He goes first, he's leading them back out through the door to the pastures. And that is what your minister does. He leads you through the door, through the Lord Jesus, to the pasture and to the sheepfold. That's the minister's job. He's the doorman. His job is to get you through the door. And so he must go through the door himself. He goes before you. To mix the metaphors a bit, the minister ought to be the hungriest sheep. The first one through the door to get to the pasture. Our ministers, our pastors, our elders, this is what they've been called to. The first one in the door to find shelter and rest. The first one out the door to the green pasture. Ministers need the rest of the sheep to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a massive blessing, isn't it, to have godly shepherds, godly pastors to bless us by presenting God's word to us. By the way, it's important to see in verse 3, when Jesus talks about the shepherd calling his own sheep by name, we might think that he's talking about himself. Isn't it Jesus that does that? But actually, that would make no sense. He just said in the previous verse, this shepherd enters by the door which is Jesus. So Jesus can't be saying he is the shepherd who goes through himself. Later on, he will present himself as the good shepherd. But for now, he's saying, I'm the door, and true shepherds, true ministers, go through the door and lead the sheep through, but false ones, thieves, climb in the window. So let me talk about the thieves for a moment before we turn back to the shepherds. Jesus wants us to see that always among the shepherds there are lurking thieves and robbers. Now, if I had to choose the most underrated theme in the Bible, the one that is all over the place but it's rarely talked about, it would be the subject of false teachers. When you start noticing, you realize it's everywhere. The New Testament rings with constant alarm over false teachers. And yet often it's not really on our radar, other than maybe thinking, you know, it's out there somewhere, but we're not really at risk of that kind of thing. But Jesus says there are thieves out there who want to slaughter you and sow market. You can spot them because they refuse to go through the door and they want to stop you getting in too. The whole context of this parable is this episode, you might remember, with the blind man who Jesus healed. But then the Pharisees kick the blind man out of the synagogue. They shut the door of the kingdom in the blind man's face when their job was to lead him through the door. Instead, they cast him out into the cold. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. But you neither enter yourselves, nor allow those who would enter to go." That is the thief and the robber. It's, you know, the liberal Methodist minister who tells you Jesus was a great ethical example instead of the only saviour of the world who died to save sinners from God's wrath. He's saying, let's climb through the window of good behaviour, of living an ethical life to enter the kingdom. It's the prosperity gospel preacher whose message is all about financial and material gain instead of salvation through sin in Christ alone. In some circles, it will be the minister who seems solid on all his doctrine, all his teaching, but he gives the impression that the way to God is correct theology. The door to the church is the Westminster Confession or whatever confession that you follow instead of Christ. Jesus says, beware the thief. If you're not yet a member of a local church, this is really important as you choose which church to commit to, which shepherd you'll follow. As you watch Bible teaching on YouTube or listen in podcasts, you've got to beware of thieves and robbers. So how does the true shepherd lead the sheep through the door? Well, very simply, words. Verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep by name. In other words, the minister stands up with open Bible and he announces, Jesus is the door. He is the only way to life. Come to Christ for shelter. Come to Christ for pasture. Do not stay outside. Do not linger. Enter the kingdom of God. And the sheep, the true sheep, they recognize the voice of the shepherd because behind his voice is the voice of the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as your pastor stands up and preaches to you, what is happening in real time is sheep are going in for shelter and going out for pasture as the voice of the shepherd sounds forth in our ears. The minister is a doorman. He brings you to the door. He takes out the keys of the kingdom to open and close the door through the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes you might think, how do I get more of Christ? I want to grow. I want to know Jesus better, but I don't know how. Well, God has given us shepherds to lead us there. So don't neglect the ministry of the word. On a Sunday morning, on a Sunday evening, your minister preaches to you, and this is a means that God has given us to bring us to Jesus. I wonder what we want in a shepherd. Someone entertaining, someone with a charismatic personality, someone good with people. They can organize things well. We need a man who's gone through the door and will take us there too. Week in and week out, we'll point you to that same door that we'll be with us. As I prepared this sermon, it was a challenging one for me. As a minister of the gospel, we must be those who are constantly coming to the Lord Jesus. It's easy to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ and not go to him ourselves for our food, our safety, our home. We can easily drift in our preaching and our fasting from the main thing, get sidetracked with all kinds of things and neglect the point Jesus is doing, the point away from ourselves, the point to Christ. So for those of us who are ministers or elders or maybe in the future, we've got to remember, ministry is not about you. He must increase, and we must decrease. We're either pointing towards Jesus, or towards something else. You know, many church pulpits, there's a plaque that only the minister can see. There's just five words that ought to burn into our minds, those of us who are preachers. It says, "Sir, we would see Jesus, the adornment of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Brothers and sisters, come with your weary souls to the only place that is truly home. The door is the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the only way to safety, he is the only way to be filled. And we thank you that you have called us through his voice and by your Holy Spirit into your church, into your family, not through anything that we have done, but purely through your free gift. And so we pray, Father, that in our lives we would again and again turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one who can fill our souls. And we ask it in his precious name.